Welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco, the show that brings you inspiring stories from our thriving creative community right here in Waco, Texas. I'm Fiona Bond, and each episode we spotlight the artists, performers, and cultural leaders who are shaping Waco's cultural landscape and sparking imagination throughout the community. On today's show, we're exploring the power of creativity to nourish the soul and strengthen the fabric of our community. From vibrant canvases to theatrical voyages, our two guests each offer something special for the season. First, we'll hear from Dr. Renita Carradine, educator, scholar, and multimedia artist who is exhibiting her deeply personal and spiritually rooted artwork at Marie's Wine Bar on Austin Avenue. Then we'll visit with David Corkhill, director of the Performing Arts Community Center, also on Austin Avenue, to hear about the PAC's remarkable first year and their upcoming stage production of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, based on the beloved story from C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. But first, we begin with someone whose work bridges education, theology, and the arts. Dr. Renita Carradine is a longtime educator, former broadcaster, and visual artist whose passion for painting emerged in 2016. Her work is a vibrant blend of cultural sculpture, abstract form, and spiritual symbolism, drawing influence from Black art traditions, Japanese aesthetics, and her own lived experience. Welcome, Renita Carradine.
Hello. Thank you for having me today on KWBU. I'm excited to be here.
It's really great to have you. Well, you have a really remarkable background. You hold a doctorate in theological studies. You've worked in education for nearly three decades, and you bring a really deep theological perspective and a love of God, children, and all of creation into your art-making practice. Tell us a little bit about that. You describe your art as spiritual and healing. How did you first discover painting as part of your creative and even theological journey?
Well, I already come from a family of creatives. My uncle was an artist, and I have other relatives who are artists, and my mother is also a creative, dealing in interior design and floral decorating. As for me, I've always had that creative gene, that creative curiosity, and those things that live deep within us. And I always wondered, what would that look like if it just all poured out of me?
I love that. What a great question.
And so in 2016, I actually attended a painting with a twist. And, you know, those come with those pre-drawn canvases. And, you know, I really enjoyed the experience. But when I got home, just wasn't satisfied with my piece. And I thought there's so much more to this than just, you know, throwing the paint on the canvas. And I started adding other layers and other pieces and elements and paper and texture to this piece, posted it on Facebook, and somebody saw it and thought, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. And so they asked, did I have anything else to show? Well, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I had never painted before. And I said, well, I really don't. This was from a painting with a twist. And they said, if you see or have any other opportunities or any other paintings that you want to go ahead and express, do that. And so that piqued my interest a little bit more, and I went out and bought another canvas. I started painting, and I posted it, and then sure enough, from there, they wanted to do a show for me. And I thought, wow, that's crazy.
Well, and I've now seen a couple of your shows, and they are really, they're very engaging. Your work is very invitational, even though it's largely abstract, although you have done figurative work too. What themes or ideas do you find yourself returning to in your work?
So after I got my doctorate in theological studies and started that journey with my master's of theology, somebody asked me, what are you going to do with that, and how is it going to look? How is it going to appear, be present in your artwork? And I thought, I really don't know. We'll just see what happens. And so as I've been evolving in this work, moving from an amateur artist, and, you know, my theme has been the evolution of Dino. Dino is my artist name. I think that we have opportunities to continuously evolve. And so when I'm painting, there's always time and room for deep prayer and contemplation, and just giving thanks for those things around me. You know, even outside of family and friends, but just really taking in the moment and being present. And that's how I'm learning to stay anchored and present in the work.
I think you can really see that in your work, that it is kind of a practice of prayer, reflection, contemplation. You can see that in the layered nature of the work. And if people haven't seen your work, we will post some. But also, I strongly encourage people to see it exhibited at the moment at Marie's. Tell us a little bit about the exhibition at Marie's Wine Bar. What can visitors expect to see there? And what does that represent in terms of your work?
So hopefully they will be pleased with what they see as I've evolved. As I stated earlier, you know, my first round in 2017 was more colorful, multimedia, abstract figures, right? And then moving now to more fluid abstract. I think they are going to see just a conglomeration of a lot of life forces coming together. A lot of the images that are displayed and a lot of the movement that they see, hopefully they'll see that it connects with nature, with, you know, the universe around us and with other people, and they'll be happy with what they see. The work is going to be up through February, and I'm just extremely grateful to Sydney and Tyra Warren for allowing me to have my work displayed there. I've been there with them for a good year and a half since the beginning, and just appreciate their support of my work and my own personal journey.
Well, and of course, shout out to them because they are stalwarts of the arts world in Waco themselves. Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren runs the Waco Family and Faith Film Festival. And of course, Marie's is a place that you can get a great glass of wine while you are looking at the art, which is also an absolute win. And they regularly host musical programs, especially in jazz. Tyra herself is a wonderful jazz musician, and they bring their friends in to perform there. So,
and my background on radio
strongly,
is definitely jazz too.
Oh, I love that. I didn't know that. That's so cool. Well, it's definitely, people should look up the program for Marie's because they regularly have some really fun events. And I believe one of those events that they regularly have, just in case people listening are inspired to pick up a brush for themselves and try some art as a form of therapy and a form of meditation, I believe there are opportunities to join you for sip and paint sessions at Marie's. Is that right?
Yes, we actually host a sip and paint once a month, every third Saturday of the month, barring, you know, a holiday. And people come out from 1:30 to 3:30 and just have a good time. And, you know, I walk them through the entire process of painting on a very clean, basic canvas. We go over all of the utensils and things that we're using, and we actually talk about the work. And then when they walk away, hopefully they feel like they've created a masterpiece.
I love that. And you're encouraging people to start just the way that you started. And for you, it's become such a wonderful practice. And I have to say, you
and
are
I
one
get
of,
to teach, which is what I love since I'm an educator.
Of course. Well, and so just tell us very briefly, what's your day job? Because, you know, there's a whole other side to your life and your career that we haven't even touched on.
So I am in my 29th year of education, and I'm the assistant superintendent of human resources with Waco ISD.
Which I know is a demanding job, and we're so grateful that you do that because, you know, that people are our greatest asset, and especially when it comes to teaching. And I know that that's a job that you are passionate about, and
especially
we're
for
so
the
grateful.
Love of children, for sure.
Yes. Well, and we're also glad that you have art as your other side of being able to nourish your soul and your personality, and definitely encourage people to check out the exhibition.
Thank
you. Renita, thank you so much for joining me today. Please stay with us because I think you're going to be really interested in our next conversation too. Renita's exhibition continues this month at Marie's Wine Bar, which is located at 723 Austin Avenue. Please stop in, enjoy a glass of wine, and be inspired by the meditative work on the walls, and maybe even sign up for a workshop. Next up, we have David Smith with David and Art.
On this edition of David and Art, host David Smith looks at how a specific case of political leadership supported, inspired, and influenced countless artists, both professional and amateur alike.
March 14, 1958 was a Friday, and the President of the United States had almost an hour all to himself before the cabinet meeting that morning. What was even more unusual was that there was not a single interruption for 45 minutes. His personal secretary, Ann Whitman, said it was simply unheard of. Ike was relaxed and lighthearted as he chatted with Whitman about one of his favorite forms of relaxation, painting. As he gazed out the window of the Oval Office onto the South Lawn, he pointed out the astounding range of colors, especially the greens, that were beginning to brighten the spring morning. The large magnolia tree and the shadows underneath it, the shrubs, the grass on the rolling lawn, all were green, yet all were different. He complained that in his painting, all of his greens tended to be too green. As he contemplated his choice of colors, he pondered for a moment about going back to working with just 6 or 7 basic colors and blending other shades from those. He also admitted that he was insecure about his sense of artistic arrangement within his paintings, whether a road turned to the right or left, for instance. But his problems with the color green concerned him the most. For a few moments, the President of the United States sounded just like any other amateur painter. Like hundreds of thousands of Americans in the 1950s, President Dwight D. Eisenhower was an avid amateur painter. Unlike most other amateurs, though, his hobby received the whole country's attention and certainly inspired thousands who might not have otherwise attempted to do so to pick up a brush and follow the general to the canvas. The only other amateur who could even approach Ike's fame as a weekend painter was his good friend Winston Churchill. As an example of the avid amateur, Eisenhower's influence was significant, but he and his administration influenced art in the United States in far more lasting ways through official policies and legislation. During his time in office, Eisenhower supported programs to send American artists abroad, and he endorsed a drive to build a National Cultural and Performing Arts Center in Washington, D.C. He also pressed for the creation of a new commission that would use the national government to improve the status and condition of arts in the United States. He liked to think of himself as a friend of the arts, and he was consistently worried that his fellow Americans were too willing to put material abundance above art and culture as a benchmark of the country's success and prosperity. Without a vibrant and dynamic high culture, Ike feared, the United States would have a hollow soul. He thought that appreciation and exposure to the arts could offset this materialism.
David and Art is a production of KWBU. You can listen again or explore past episodes anytime at kwbu.org.
Welcome back. This is Conversations with Creative Waco, and I'm your host, Fiona Bond. Our next guest leads one of Waco's newest creative spaces. David Corkill is the owner and executive director of the Performing Arts Community Center of Waco, or the PAC, which opened its doors in September 2024 and has already become a hub for music, dance, film, and theater in the heart of downtown. With 13 years of experience as a theater, choir, and band teacher, David has directed more than 60 productions and is passionate about arts education and creating accessible space for performers of all ages. Under his leadership, the PAC has grown into a place where creativity flourishes with shows, classes, rehearsals, and even a coffee and ice cream shop, all under one roof. David, welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And the PAC has just completed its first full year. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
What are you most proud of from that first year?
Well, we knew going into it that the arts and the performing arts scene in Waco had grown so much. And there were so many great groups that had popped up in the last decade or so. And we were hoping that those groups would see the PAC as a space to hang out, a space to rehearse, a space to
much
perform.
Much needed space.
Right.
Absolutely. With 9 theater companies now in Waco,
right,
it was badly needed.
Absolutely. And so, but that was the hope. But reality, once we did open up, those groups did just flock to us. And that's the thing we are the most proud of. We have worked in our first year with 32 different organizations.
Oh my goodness.
Around Waco, just talking not just our theater groups, but these music groups and these arts organizations and these film groups, all looking for a place to show off what they do.
Well, and I believe that you have a way of tracking who has come through this space, which involves Renita, our first guest.
Yes, absolutely. So one of my favorite features of the pack is a thing called the theatry, which is the word theater with an extra E on there. In the dressing room, the green room behind the stage, we wanted a blank tree to be a mural back there. And I knew Renita back then, and I asked her to do that. And so we were meeting today in the green room, and she was like, what does that thing look like now? And so I'll kick it over to her.
So first of all, it was an amazing experience, and I appreciate the opportunity to create that tree. But when I saw it today, my cheeks hurt from smiling so much because it's absolutely beautiful, and I can see his vision. It just came to fruition with all of the beautiful handprints. It just looks like this beautiful, amazing, colorful tree. And I was deeply touched by it, like, wow, just looking at this a year later. And so I got a little emotional.
I love that. So you had painted a giant bear tree, and each person, each group that comes in is encouraged to put their handprints onto the tree, and it's now blossoming with all those handprints.
Yes.
I love that. What a great testament to a first successful year.
And a good partnership.
Absolutely.
And you guys are both educators, too. I love that you're bringing that passion for education right into the center of the arts.
And Renita had a handful of workshops just in our first fall semester. We've been working together for a while now. And so she was our first artist collaborative
that we started with. That is so great. Well, clearly you have created something that's much more than a venue. It's a space for learning, collaboration, and community. Why was that holistic approach particularly important to you?
Well, the model is that it was going to be a one-stop shop, but also that it's not just one thing. We didn't want to just be for theater or just be for film. We wanted to be theater, music, dance, and film. We didn't want to just be for youth. We wanted to be for all ages, so have things for adults as well. We didn't want to just have performances. We wanted to have classes. We wanted to have workshops. And we didn't want to just kind of work mostly during the summer. We wanted to work all year round. And so being able to
set a big challenge for yourself.
That's right. Yeah. And so we wanted to serve all the performing arts and all the performing artists. We didn't want to just focus on one thing. And so that holistic approach of just trying everything really has paid off because our students in our classes, we have more and more. We have more and more people in workshops. And in our first year, we had 160 shows just in our first 365 days.
That's incredible. And you are still, you know, upright and enthusiastic, which is even more of a miracle.
Yes,
it's
yes.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of energy, but we have a great team at the PAC, and like I said, the energy of myself and my team is matched by the energy of the performers and the groups who come and are just excited to do their thing.
I love that. And it really is a place where you can bring your imagination and experiment, which we needed badly in our downtown area, and especially for performing arts. Well, tell us about the upcoming production of Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which I know is a much loved story. How did you choose that story, and what makes it a great fit as a production for this season?
Great question. So, this is going to be the PAC's first full-produced theatrical production. We're starting that this year. We have youth production Dawn Treader here in the fall, and then we have Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which is an all-ages musical production in the spring. And so, but why Narnia? It comes from a couple of programs that I directed in the past. One program started back in 2015, 2016. The very first full-length play that we did was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And then 5 years after that, the predecessor organization of the PAC called YPAC, the Youth Performing Arts Community Center, back in Corpus Christi, the first full-length play that we did was Prince Caspian.
Oh, okay.
And so 5 years after that, we are finishing out that trilogy, that story with The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And so it's going to be this spreading of history and different students and different actors telling the same beautiful story. And
Which is kind of what C.S. Lewis does.
Exactly.
And I love that kind of Odyssey approach too, not just to this particular play, but also to the, you know, that arc of storytelling.
For sure. But the thing that makes it the most exciting for the pack is we're going to be able to use the versatility of the space. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to be on the stage. You might have heard of productions that have a rotating stage, like where the casts rotate on stage. We're going to have a rotating audience.
Oh, wow.
So there's going to be stuff happening on the stage, and then there's going to be stuff happening to the left of the audience, and then behind the audience, and to the right of the audience. And so the audience is going to be rotating their chairs because it's going to be an adventure. It's going to be a voyage where they go to different islands and they go and do different things. And so it's going to be a really versatile production.
Wow. Well, that already sounds incredibly intriguing. And I know for people who love that story, that's going to be such an amazing experience.
Yes, it opens December 5th, 6th, and 7th. And we will have had the auditions October 22nd, 23rd. And so, yeah, we open the first weekend of December. And yes, we encourage everybody to come out. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful story.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, David, for joining us.
Absolutely.
Voyage of the Dawn Treader runs from December 5th to the 7th at the Performing Arts Community Center, located at 924 Austin Avenue. For tickets, showtimes, and opportunities to get involved at the PAC, visit paccwaco.com. That's all for this week's Conversations with Creative Waco. A heartfelt thanks to Dr. Renita Carradine and David Corkill for sharing their creative journeys and the spaces they've helped bring to life here in Waco. Don't forget, Dr. Carradine's art is on view now at Marie's Wine Bar and runs until the middle of February. Voyage of the Dawn Treader at the Performing Arts Community Center sets sail December 5th to the 7th. And you can also still catch Waco Civic Theatre's production of Frozen, which you heard about last episode. If you missed part of today's show or want to listen again, you can find past episodes at kwbu.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want the inside scoop on Waco's creative happenings, be sure to subscribe to Waco Insider and or the Waco Buzz, ideally both. I'm Fiona Bond, and this was Conversations with Creative Waco. Here's to finding inspiration and gratitude in the art and community all around us in this season of Thanksgiving.